We now return to Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz with your hosts, Bill Holfeld and Joe Maniscalco.
I'll keep working my way back to you, babe, with a bird.
And we're back with more good talk right here on Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz. I'm your host, Bill Holfeld, and in the studio with me is my co-host, partner, and friend, Joe Maniscalco. Joe, man, was she awesome or what? I mean, if you were on strike, that's who you want to be married to, right?
I mean, she does a great job of really framing the issue and describing what's really at stake.
I mean, could you imagine that optic if there were, if besides the guys on the picket line, if there were, you know, like a couple of hundred women and several hundred children, you know, holding on to them, what that would actually, the message that would send?
Well, that's the thing that struck me the most in the series of stories that I've written on the strike is about all of the families that you don't see that are being affected by the strike. They're the ones that are suffering.
It's always all about the families, Joe. So who's the rest of our family today?
Well, we're going to go on to another group of workers that are fighting for decent jobs and getting the short end of the stick. It's what's happening down at 100 Yards and a major development down there and a big push to make it open shop, which we know here it's called broken shop, yeah. Which is they're trying to dilute the pool and create junk jobs when they should be creating good union jobs.
And you know, I remember, and I don't understand this too, because I mean, I remember back in the day, you know, I was still very active in the field, and we made all kinds of concessions. When I talk about we, I'm talking about the building trades. We made all kinds of concessions to make Related happy. And by the way, before I forget, you know, we know that Spectrum went on the Wall of Shame. Okay, as of today, it's official. Related goes on the Labor Press Wall of Shame because we did nothing but give concessions to keep those jobs union, and then they turn around and they bit us in the butt anyway.
And here to talk to us about that is Robert Rotolo, the business rep from Local 28 Sheet Metal Workers and famed labor organizer extraordinaire activist Ray Rogers from the corporate campaign.
Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glad to be here, Bill and Joe.
And so tell us what's going on. Rob, tell us what's going on with the sheet metal workers and Local 28 right now.
Well, we're talking about Related and Hudson Yards and Open Shop. Open shop, again, like you said, is broken shop. We can't allow it. You can't allow the wages that we fought so hard to get all these years to be broken down because a company wants to make double their profit margins. I spoke with Roy about it previously, where unions and Rebney and all those people, they have swung the pendulum too far. Life is a pendulum. It goes left and right, and it's gone too far to the side where the wealthy people are making money on working people's back, and they want to do that with open shop. It's not good.
It's not good. And Ray, I mean, you've been fighting a good fight with Rebney for a while now. So, I mean, you know, how does all this play out between Related and Rebney and what's going on at the Hudson Yards? What's the overview on that?
One of the very top leaders and policymakers of Rebney is the head of Related Company, Stephen Ross.
Ah, what a surprise.
Yes, what a surprise. And you know, the spokesperson for Mr. Ross and for Rebney is John Banks. John Banks says that the unions have really priced themselves out of the market. They're not competitive. Well, Stephen Ross doesn't do too bad because his net value, net worth is $7.6 billion.
Most of which he has accumulated by doing union work.
By doing union work, okay? Now, let me just say something about Mr. Ross. Mr. Ross is a tax cheat, okay? He's been involved in tax, not just tax avoidance, but in tax evasion. Mr. Ross should be in jail. What he did was, just as an example, there's a lot written about this, but he donated a piece of land to his alma mater, University of Michigan. He bought the piece of land for about $3 million. He took a tax write-off of about $33 million, I think it was, and he got caught, okay? So the people that were involved with him, they've ended up in prison. He should be in prison, okay? He got a heavy fine, got the biggest fine that anybody could get that was not a criminal offense, but a civil offense. But he is a tax cheat, okay? He steals money from the public. Now he's trying to steal money and the jobs of union workers over there at Hudson Yards.
Okay, so Ross, Rebney, and Banks, all of them, they all go up on the wall of shame, too.
All go up on the wall of shame.
Official. Russell today. Rebney at the top of the Hall of Shame.
Well, Bill, like, when you think about this, what is this about, being priced out? Priced out of the market?
What does that mean?
You should accept less?
I don't think it's about priced out. It's about what they're willing to pay for what we build. Once people in the building trade started making, with benefits and everything, and pensions and a livable wage, where they needed to be, Rebney and the other individuals started looking and saying, hey, I don't want to pay this. I can get it for half the price.
Yeah, well, it's a class distinction, too, because, look, let's be honest with you. Let's not dance around it, all right? You're a unionized building tradesman. He's making over $100. When you put in all the benefits, he costs $100
an hour. Absolutely.
And I'm going to say that. And I'm going to say that proudly, because I'm tired of hearing, well, that's a lot of money to pay a fill-in-the-blank carpenter, plumber, steamfooter, ironwork. Well, that's an awful lot of money to pay. Why is that a lot of money? These are the guys that made you your billions of dollars. You know what I think is a lot of money? Guys like you who make $50,000 an hour. That's an awful lot of money for somebody who pushes buttons and talks on the phone.
You know what the fact of the matter is? The people that build the buildings can't even live in the buildings.
Well, yeah.
They don't make enough money to live in the buildings. So how can you say they're priced out of the market? I mean, you got attorneys making $350, $600 an hour. And you're talking about a guy that just wants to have a retirement, have a pension, have a welfare plan, be able to feed his family, and make it back and forth to work commuting.
Yeah.
It's not unreasonable.
Of course,
that's
it's
the
not.
Thing. Is like you're getting this awesome return back, you know, from the people that are building your buildings, you know, the building them the best that they can be built. So you're getting that return, and also what you're paying for is the middle class in this country. So that
The people that are making that money are paying taxes, which are keeping the schools going, which are keeping the buses running, which are keeping the roads paved, because we know that the people at the top have really fancy schmancy attorneys and they don't have to pay that stuff.
One of my visions for this show is that so people that tune in will start connecting the dots and looking at this holistically. You know, it's not right now we're talking about the building trades. Just a couple of minutes before we were talking about retail and communications, what Spectrum's doing to those middle class workers. It's across the board, across different industries, is attack on the middle class.
Labor's under attack. It's time to wake up.
And Rob, how long have you been a member of the building trades?
39 years.
39 years. Yep. Okay. So you haven't been sitting on the couch watching TV for 39 years,
no.
Right? Okay. Did you do an apprenticeship?
4-year apprenticeship.
You did a 4-year apprenticeship. Now you busted your tail all day and then you went to school at night. Am I right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And you're a sheet metal worker, correct?
I am.
All right. So just give a quick overview. If there's anybody out there who doesn't understand what a sheet metal worker is, tell us what the day in the life of a sheet metal worker is.
So the average day in a sheet metal worker's life, you get up, you get your coffee, you go to the job. Whether there's sheet metal covers three parts of the industry, shop, field, and drafting. We're the only industry still left in New York City that fabricates a product out of a flat commodity. We take a flat sheet of metal, we bend it into a duck, we put it on a truck, we deliver it to the job, and we install it. That's rare.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's like one of those tests you take. I've done those tests where you got to look at it all unfolded and figure out how it goes back together again.
Yep.
This is not for the weak-minded.
No, you have to be able to look at things three-dimensionally on a daily basis. You got drawings. Our draftsmen, they make fully 3D automated drawings that are used industry-wide to coordinate these jobs. And these guys are brilliant. They're very smart. They're the brains of the industry. And in a daily basis, a guy goes on the job. He works all day going up and down on man lifts. Years ago, it was ladders. Drilling holes in the concrete, putting hangers in the concrete, hanging the ductwork. You know, and you got to produce.
Yeah, Rob, where are these installations happening? Installation, where is it actually happening?
It's happening on construction sites, Hudson Yards. It happened, all through the years, Metro Tech.
How
Foley
many
Square.
Feet above the air?
Oh, 30, 40, 50 stories, you know. You're in the building, and there's no walls on the building.
Okay.
The wind's whipping through.
Wind's whipping through, and you're pounding, and if you're not wearing your ear protection, you're all deaf by the time you're 42 years old.
Yep. It's an interesting concept.
And the developer walks away with $1 billion in his pocket, and he's telling you you're not worth your $100 an hour.
I concur with that.
Ray, the last minute.
Let me just say one thing. Look, we talked to Bob here. Okay, these construction workers are as professional as any profession can be, as professional as any professional can be. They deserve everything they get. Dirty, hard, very professional work. And boy, to see what this the Rebney and the leaders of these big companies are trying to do these construction workers is a crime. And they belong in jail.
Ray, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to revisit this again. But right now, we have to throw back over to Bill for his spotlight on American labor history.
Thanks, Joe. On February 25th, 1913, it was the beginning of the Paterson, New Jersey silk strike. One of the oldest industrial cities in the United States, Paterson had a long history of conflicts between mill owners and textile workers. But the silk strike of 1913 was the biggest, longest, and most dramatic strike in Paterson's history. That's when 25,000 immigrant textile workers walked out because mill owners doubled the size of the looms without increasing either the size of the staff or the rate of pay. The strike was organized by the Industrial Workers of the World, also known as the Wobblies, and the strike lasted 5 months. And five strikers were killed during that 208-day walkout. Though workers were initially unified in their demands, the manufacturers were able to outlast the strikers so that the strike eventually collapsed when mill owners exploited divisions between skilled and unskilled workers, successfully getting the skilled workforce to agree to return to work. It wasn't until 1919 that Paterson's silk workers won the 8-hour day, but by that time, Paterson's silk industry was already in decline. After the 1913 strike, many mill owners began relocating much of their business to Pennsylvania. Others simply withdrew from production. Finally, it was the introduction of nylon and rayon during the Great Depression which sealed the industry's fate.
Thanks, Bill. That does it for another episode of Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz. I want to remind everybody, if you like us, follow us on Twitter at LaborPressNY, find us on Facebook, and also go to iTunes. You can now get us on iTunes. And don't forget to come back here next Sunday night at 9 p.m. for another episode of Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz here on AM 970 The Answer.